Good morning. A Wednesday morning, we're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, let's start with a programming note. Of course, we're running the Supreme Court hearing for Brett Kavanaugh, which we will talk about. But we're going to have a special roundtable panel beginning at 8 a.m. this morning that will go up to the hearing start time, which is 9:30. And I know there will be discussion of the incredible spectacle that we witnessed yesterday at the hearing.
David, that's right. The way this happened, this came about, is I was getting lots of calls. We were all getting calls saying, how can we not have the panel on a day when all hell is basically breaking loose? So we said, well, you know, the thing is, you play the NPR product twice. As everybody knows, it's on twice, and we play everything that they put out a second time. So what we're going to do is just take that second time, the 8 to 9:30, and do the panel then. And that'll be a way of doing what we do best and what people love. To those who may miss something, just go back to npr.org and listen to it there. That's a good way of doing it. And we'll be doing the panel, and we are just real happy to be able to do that. Of course, everybody has to get up a little earlier.
At 8 a.m., they'll begin. What we saw yesterday, Alan, your reaction. I see this morning from the Washington Post, the Schumer Democrats wrestled over staging a mass Kavanaugh walkout. They settled for loud protesting.
Well, they did. The Democrats were taking no prisoners yesterday. No matter what they did, it wasn't going to be enough, obviously. You know, everything has its dangers, but I thought Senator Whitehouse was incredibly effective, talking about the Roberts Court and all of the things that had happened by the corporatists who are now running that court. And he did a terrific job of summing it all up. And then, of course, we have the incredible story yesterday of Fear, the book by Bob Woodward, which now turns out to have documentation that you wouldn't believe of the things that the people closest to the president have been saying. Things like, basically, this is crazy town. He's a liar. His closest lawyers showing him that he couldn't afford to testify before Mueller, because if he did, he would perjure himself. One of his closest attorneys saying to him, the choice is either not going or wearing an orange jumpsuit, meaning going to prison. The president has been tweeting, of course, all night long, damning the book, saying that it's all made up. But it isn't made up, and we know it. Look, people are entitled to their frustrations, and people can say anything about anybody. But the mass of this material just shows how dangerous the situation is. After all, as I've been saying all along, this is a man with his finger on the button, and he's also a master of deception, so that when something comes along that's damning, he finds something else to do. And this is, of course, the story of Wag the Dog, David. You know, all of a sudden, we're hearing about new international dangers. We're hearing about the Russians in Syria, his Russian friends. And the question is, in order to save himself, will he create a war situation? These are things that would be unimaginable with anybody else, but not with this guy and not with this book right now.
As if these stories weren't enough, we had primaries in Massachusetts yesterday, and quite an upset. Ayanna Pressley, who we spoke about, first African-American in the state to be elected to the House of Representatives, she beat Michael Capuano, 10-term incumbent.
Once again, you see where the pollsters go wrong. Capuano, of course, a good man, a good person, gracious in his defeat. Districts tend to reflect the people who live in them and their values, and that is the way I suspect it should be. And the pollsters come out and show him leading by 15 points. Once again, she wins, and she wins big, because a whole bunch of people who had no reason to come out in their own minds and vote now are voting, unanticipated by the pollsters, and they win. The New York Times, by the way, saw it coming. We talked about it. But it is now Ocasio-Cortez redo, and I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of that. And, you know, I think it can't be denied that the Democrats ought to be very carefully considering what's going on here in order to regain the momentum that they have lost in this country.
Now to Western Massachusetts, where the Berkshire County District Attorney's race finds what appears at this hour a close victory for Andrea Harrington over Paul Cacciavello and Judith Knight.
Well, that's right. A lot of mistakes were made here. This election, in many ways, for the district attorney's job, was more about the guy who left the district attorney's office and less about Cacciavello, who is, by the way, a very good and nice man. I can't tell you which way my vote went. That would be incorrect in this case. But I can tell you he deserves an awful lot of respect for the way that he conducted himself during these debates and everything else. The fact that his wife and Capeless, the outgoing district district attorney's wife got involved at a time when they should not have. I don't want to put any guilt trip on anybody. It's not a nice thing to do. But it could have resulted in this election. The last time I looked at the Berkshire Eagle very early this morning, it was 122 votes. Now, there is some feeling that Cacciavillo might run a write-in campaign against Harrington, but hard to spell Cacciavillo. It would have to be done on stickers, and that is going to be a mighty task if he decides to do it. In the meantime, you've got to have a lot of respect for Andrea Harrington, who didn't let any of the attacks bother her, was focused, and ran a campaign in which she was out knocking on doors every single day. She really did it right.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, joining us again. We start the panel early today in a few minutes. 10 minutes. We will be on the air from 8 to 9:30, and then that will be followed by the continuing hearings from NPR on the Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. Alan, thank you.
And thank you, David. We're all just trying to do it right.